Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. There is something lurking. It copies voices. It shadows movement. It is a master of mockery, a chameleon of caricature. It has been walking amongst us since the gods of Mount Olympus, wrapped in the legend of the pharaohs of Egypt, and even woven in the lore of ancient England and Scandinavia. It is a slippery word. You may think you know it, but do you? Can you really be sure it is what it is, or perhaps it is simply wearing a deceiving disguise? Well, we must traipse once again into Uncle William's whimsical woodland of mischief-making fairies to delve into this deceiving doppelganger to uncover his first use of the word mimic. It was somewhere between 1598 and 1600 when Uncle William would playfully pen his frolicsome fairy Puck into existence. His play of lovers and lunacy, moonlit mayhem, and some ass amore, or should that be Eeyore enamoration? Anyway, A Midsummer Night's Dream, where Oberon, the fairy king, is engaged in a domestic dispute with his queen Titania. Oberon's magical mischief-maker Puck comes upon some actors rehearsing in the wood, and transforms the snoozing Nick Bottom's head into that of a donkey. Meanwhile, he sprinkles a love potion into Titania's sleeping eye and returns to tell his master of his hysterical hijinks.
My mistress with a monster is in love. Near to her close and consecrated bower, while she was in her dull and sleeping hour, a crew of patches, rude mechanicals that work for bread upon Athenian stalls, were met together to rehearse a play intended for great Theseus' nuptial day. The shallowest, thick skin of that barren sort, who Pyramus presented in their sport, forsook his scene and entered in a break when I did him at this advantage take. An ass's knoll I fixed on his head. Anon his thisby must be answered. And forth my mimic comes. When they him spy, as wild geese that the creeping fowler eye.
Now the word mimic comes not from the Latin, but the Greek initially. Mimos, meaning imitator or actor. It then morphed into Latin, mimicus, and eventually into English, where it arrived wearing someone else's voice and looking suspiciously familiar. The fables of mimicry are ancient, ranging from Zeus shape-shifting as a swan to get his leg over, to the Arthurian legend where Uther Pendragon, driven with lust for Cornwall's wife, Igraine, and, with a little help from Merlin's magic, transforms into the doppelganger of the Duke and tricks her into sleeping with him, the result being the birth of Arthur. Now, it's not just us, of course, but mimicry can be found in nature, from the viceroy butterfly mimicking the markings of the toxic monarch, the coral snake's vibrant colors being mimicked by the harmless milk snake, to a squishy eight-tentacled sea dweller so adept at doppelgangery, its official scientific name is Thaumoctopus mimicus, the mimic octopus. But of course, it's not just shapes, but sounds as well. From the lyrebird to the far more familiar, oh look, is that a mockingbird?
Isn't that a mockingbird? Isn't that a mockingbird?
Okay, that sounded nothing like me. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.